Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
What is this, Night at the Roxbury?
Give me those glow sticks, dude. You just don't look good when you've got glow sticks in your fingers. Give me all of them. How many you got there? 10? You got 10 glow sticks in your hand?
Yeah.
Did you just go, fill in the beat? What is that, Lloyd Cole back there? Well, I thought Lloyd was just having a good old time on that show before us. I wasn't sure he was even going to be ready for us.
Oh, you're coming out with all guns blaring today.
Well, because he fired at me before we even jumped on air. He fired at me.
And then I fired at the production that I had ordered and produced.
Wait,
so that's pretty much on
you.
Me.
What are you talking about?
Lloyd, stop it. Yes, you did.
About what?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
I thought we'd all be in a better mood considering we didn't start the show until noon today.
Hey, by the way, so Scotty, our band of the day, and Lloyd, if you've got it back there, New Radicals. New Radicals. And go ahead and play all their hits.
Let me check. Oh, we don't have any. Sorry.
Oh, we got to have You Get What You Give. I mean, that's got to be there. Lloyd, band of the day today, Mr. Big.
Okay, so let's just gonna go with all these one-hit wonders. Wonderful.
I want to hear a little Chumbawamba.
What's next, the O'Neaters?
You said Chumbawamba. What is that one?
Tub thumping. I get knocked down.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I get up again.
Yeah, you'll hate it.
Yeah. I think you got me on the final call there. That's all I got. I've got New Radicals, Mr. Big. Trying to think of who was that one?
Coldplay. I can give you a little Coldplay.
Oh, yeah, Yellow.
Do the same song over and over.
Oh, how funny is that? Let's attack Hans's favorite. You know.
Now I got to.
Hey, do you have, how about Lynn? You Still My Sunshine?
Still My Sunshine?
That's a good one-hit wonder, isn't it? I like how Jenks is like, stop it. We're not doing this. Don't be
new
dumb.
New show,
boy.
Bud.
Don't be dumb.
Okay, give me another song. What else do you want?
You guys are coming right out of the gates.
Give me another Coldplay song.
And annoying.
Well, you name one. You want to go with Yellow? That was Clocks.
Yellow.
Do you want to go Yellow?
Yeah, go Yellow.
All right, that's it. Scotty, give me any band, and I'm talking any band, to put up in a poll question against Coldplay.
Why, don't be so sensitive. I'd like Coldplay.
Put Short Circuit up against Coldplay.
Short Circuit or Coldplay?
Stop, Lloyd. There's my phone.
Did you lose your phone?
Oh, my bum bum's just so big I can't even feel it back
there. Oh, calm down.
I had it in my back pocket.
Hey, we got a
fleshy.
Look, we only have 3 hours now. You and I have been doing 4 hours since 18 months ago. I mean, we've done a 4-hour show. Now we only have three. We can't be messing around. We got work to do.
Hey, before we jump into the work, and you're right, we do. We're getting right into some NBA stuff. Before we give me one band to put up against Coldplay, because I want you and Lloyd to see that when you attack Coldplay, you are attacking 85% of the population out there. They all love Coldplay. Almost every person I know, except for you and Lloyd, loves Coldplay.
Well, name a Coldplay song, and Lloyd will play it.
I'm not doing that. Lloyd, unless you'll really play it, because
play that Viva La Vida.
Name your favorite.
That Viva
name
La
your favorite.
Vida.
No, I'm going to let Hans. Give me your favorite, Hans.
The Scientist.
I like that one. No, that's a good song.
I know what you guys are. I'm not even buying into it. Give me something to put up against Coldplay.
I had to Google Coldplay songs.
I saw you over there Googling Coldplay. But
like, I don't need it. So this is The Scientist. All right.
And then the remix. There's a remix of this, and it's like.
This is Clocks.
In the background.
You're playing Clocks.
No, this is The Scientist.
How about Fix You?
Fix You's dang good. That's dang good. Go ahead and play that.
Hold on. I'm looking for Fix You. Where is it?
It's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, there it is.
This is the dumbest. This is the dumbest
Megan,
thing.
Megan,
no,
Megan's enjoyed it.
I know, but Megan's like upset. Megan, you like Coldplay, huh? See?
I just think a lot of Coldplay songs sound alike, as we've just noticed.
Do you know how many great bands have drawn their inspiration from Coldplay?
Don't I know where you're going.
I know you're going to go the national parks because we had them in studio and you coerced them into saying that Coldplay was a good band.
No, I asked them what were their inspirations.
You said you guys sound a lot like Coldplay. And they're like, well, that's a really popular band. Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, you
and man, I had to bite my tongue so bad.
I want to hit you in your face so bad. I just want to punch you right in your face because you know I didn't say that to them. I did not ask them. Okay, hey, you really do sound a lot. Like, could you do a Coldplay song for Scotty and I?
That'd be funny if they did clocks.
If they came out with that. Come on, one band.
Hey, Coldplay, you know what? Versus... I'm actually a little worried about our guys from the national parks.
Why?
I think they might have Nick Vigil'd us.
Oh, for sure they did. No, and what's crazy, after the second time they did our show where they did some live music.
Yeah, which was so much fun.
Yeah, they were in studio, and it was just her and him, and they had their instruments, and they just played and sang, and Scotty and I sat there in
awe.
Yes. Complete wonderment. Childlike wonderment, listening to their tunes and their songs. Coldplay versus... are you afraid to put any... Can I go Eagles?
Oh, yeah. Coldplay's going to win. Yeah, go Eagles, but I'm going to concede it already.
Are you okay with me doing this?
Yeah. No, okay. That's fine. I will accept the poll results under protest, but that's fine.
Okay.
You're already so proud because you know you're going to win this thing.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident.
Yeah.
You're right, Scotty. We have a busy day.
But the point is, the national parks, they released a new album.
Oh, I didn't
know.
And
I listened to it. It was really great. And so I texted our guy and I said, hey, if you want to come in and play a tune or two. And crickets.
Oh, no.
I can't even do a cricket sound.
Well, at least he could text you back and be like, sorry, we're busy playing in front of 34,000 people.
I know.
People
and that's, yeah, I get it. And then it was, I think, you know, new phone, who's this?
That is such a good band. National Parks is
so good. And awesome. I'm kidding. They're very busy and I'm sure they don't have. Eventually, they will get back to me,
wait,
I'm sure.
Wait. Was that his response?
Yeah.
That was the return?
Yeah.
Not much you can do with that.
Great band, and we'll get him back in studio here soon. All right, let's get to it. Starting the lineup, Hans and Scotty, now every day from noon to 3. Back to our old slot, Hans. This is where it all began nearly 8 years ago from 12 to 3. Jake and, by the way, I thought Jake and Ben were great this morning.
They were really good.
So much fun hearing those guys.
And the two new guys in the morning, that DJ and
PK.
Patrick Kinahan.
PK, man, he makes me nervous.
I know. Oh. So, yeah. I sent a text.
Did you? I was there.
Oh, yeah.
I walked in.
Oh,
the room.
I wonder. Yeah, I wondered how that
went. Said, hey, maybe not today.
I love this lineup so much. I can't even tell you. DJ and PK kicking things off in the morning. I get a great dose of all sports and great stuff from Ben and Jake. You and I will be ignored for 3 hours. Well, and then, you know, we get a great couple of new voices on air in Unrivaled right after us. So it's a great lineup, and I am beyond excited with this whole crew.
Yeah, you'll hear Alex Curry and Scott Mitchell coming up today from 3 to 6. It's a busy day, so let's get to it. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone. It is your starting lineup brought to you by Peach Windows, Utah's premier indoor retailer, combining beauty and technology, much like Hans Olsen, on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
So my mom and dad live in Weezer, Idaho. As you know, we're building them a place and moving them down here to Utah because it's about time. And I told my mom, I said, hey, I'm getting peach doors for your new house. And she said to me, you got to be kidding me. I said, why? And she said, I bought peach doors for our house here in Weezer when they redid all their doors.
Wow.
So she currently has peach doors. And she's excited to have peach doors again.
Combining beauty and technology.
That is correct. And they are both beautiful and technological.
I think as long as we got Megan here laughing at our dumb jokes, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves today.
I swear, I'm going to just give her $20 to just giggle like every time we start a show because it makes me feel a little more confident.
All right, big one tonight. It all begins 1 of 82 as the Jazz kick off the 2021-22 season.
I've heard some people complaining like, oh, it's a long season and, you know, you can't each game and this and that. But what we saw last night between the Nets and the Bucks, and then the later game, the Warriors and the Lakers, what we saw was teams like to put their best foot forward to start the season.
Yes, great point.
So there are some games that we might get into here in a month that it's like, yeah, okay, we'll enjoy it. It's entertaining. But it's not as much of a draw as some of these opening games. And last night I was watching the Bucks, and you could tell that they were pressed, pedal to the metal. And you could tell the Lakers wanted that game against the Warriors. And the Warriors looked really good, by the way. The Lakers looked really good except for one guy that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I expect tonight from the Utah Jazz. And that's why I'm telling everybody that can watch it, that has an opportunity to get to the arena, do it. Because you're going to get to see the Jazz right out of the gates the way they're meant to be before you get the nicks and dings, before you get the bruises and the bang-ups, and you get the tight muscles and the abdominal strains and discomfort. Like, you know, everything starts to happen along the season, but these first couple of games, this is a really good indicator of what a team is.
Well, I got to imagine, let's go back to when you're playing. So BYU football has one of their better years outside of maybe 1984. That 96 team, I think, has to be in the conversation, one of the best BYU football teams.
Oh, yeah.
97 starts. You guys are coming off the and I don't have your schedule in front of you. I don't know what happened that first game in 1997. But I got to imagine, especially you out on the field and that team overall, like, we set the bar really high. Expectations are high. We got to play well, especially in game number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I'm not setting you up for anything. I don't know who you played or what even the score was. But if I'm the Bucks last night and I'm playing the Nets, who's supposed to be a good team, and they are a good team, I want to go out there and say, no, what we did last year was no fluke. It wasn't because everybody was hurt and we took advantage of things. No, we're a really good team, and we're going to show the Nets who we are. And, oh, by the way, we're going to outscore them by 11 in the fourth quarter and leave no doubt who the best team in the Eastern Conference is. If I'm the Utah Jazz tonight, I go out there and say, look, we were the number one seed in the Western Conference. Yeah. We had injuries, and I want to talk about this. Rudy Gobert dropped some really interesting comments about how banged up he was in that Clippers series last year. You had Donovan Mitchell hurt, Mike Conley hurt, Rudy Gobert, who said if that series had gone seven, he probably wouldn't have been able to play in game seven. So we're a great team. We were a great regular season team. We're a great team again. And, oh, by the way, we're going to show you how good we are tonight.
Yeah.
And so I fully anticipate a really good game from the Jazz tonight. I expect a good game from the Jazz tonight. They've set the bar high, and I think they play really well in this game.
Well, I think, let me just check this. I think that they've opened with the most favorited line in the beginning of the NBA season. They're favorited. They're a 13-point favorite.
Ooh.
And
in the NBA lines, that's a big line.
On an opening night. And Memphis is second most favored at 7.5. I did not see the lines that were set for the two games yesterday, but I guarantee they weren't 13. It's a huge number for the Utah Jazz. And that just shows the level of expectation that everybody's set for the Jazz. They want to come out and put their best foot forward. You know, you put your best lineup on the court. You try to show people that, hey, we did a lot of work in the offseason. Look at this Hassan Whiteside guy. I know we had Derek Favors, and I know Favors was a fan favorite, but give this Hassan Whiteside guy a try. Give him, look at what he can do. And you try to put him in on the right moments and the right rotations so he can put his best foot forward. You know, the same with Rudy Gay. When he does finally get back, the way you want to use him and ease him in, I'm not sure. I know that Pascal had a small injury. I'm not sure what to expect from him. But there are new pieces to this Jazz team that they want to put in at the right time to be the best showpiece that they can be. And these first couple of games, I think, are big. They're not exactly against juggernaut opponents. You know, I don't have Oklahoma City as a team that is going to make the postseason in the West. I don't have Sacramento as a team that's going to make the postseason in the West. And I think Sacramento's their second game, right?
Correct.
So what I do expect to see is the Jazz play clean, efficient, high-paced, high-energy, good basketball starting tonight. And anything less than that would be an indicator of, okay, well, were you not ready in the off season? Were you not focused in camp? Why is this so sloppy right now? They've had a lot of time to prepare for this big moment. And I expect some really good stuff from the Jazz.
Interesting matchup, and we'll get a little bit, by the way, we transition into the Cougar preview show today at 1 o'clock, but it'll be interesting to see the transition that takes place in terms of what to expect from the matchup of Lu Dort and Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell's has been great, but Lu Dort's had some good games against him. So watch that matchup tonight. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. I saw Lu Dort play when he was a freshman at Arizona State. They played Utah State in a game. I've always been a big fan of his ever since. Really special player, great defender, and he's given. There's been a fun back and forth between him and Donovan. So keep an eye on that matchup tonight.
Also, it's going to be fun. Just to, and I know that you had some preseason games that it was just kind of a reminder of how entertaining this Jazz team is. But I want to refresh people's minds of Joe Ingles and his antics, how funny he is to watch when a big shot is hit, whether he's on the court or on the bench, and the way he goes back and forth with opposing players. Jordan Clarkson, when he checks onto the floor, it's like throwing a bolt of lightning out there. And for those of you that haven't watched Jordan, he is a spectacular individual talent. He'll do things inside team structure, but he was really brought in as a mercenary to go out there and do incredible things offensively, and he does that oftentimes. And Hassan Whiteside, as I mentioned, I'm excited to see his rotation, but you still have complete ball movement. When things are controlled either by Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley, you know that there's going to be plenty of ball movement. You know you're going to have plenty of perimeter shooting. Like tonight, I want to see 8 attempts from Boyan, 4 attempts from Ingles, 3 to 4 attempts from O'Neal, 7 to 8 attempts from Donovan Mitchell. Like, you know, it's spreading around and people hitting from the perimeter. Those are the things that you get to see with the Utah Jazz. And then you know that when a team gets the ball and they're headed to the other side of the court, you know that you get to watch one of the greatest defensive spectacles in the history of basketball. Mm. You get to watch Rudy Gobert. And for those of you that haven't trained an eye to watch a big defend and watch Rudy get from one side of the paint to the other side of the paint, from the outside of the paint to the perimeter, and do what he does defensively. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's entertaining.
Spend some time. You bring up a really good point. To really, truly appreciate some Jazz games, obviously you're going to watch it live. but then go back on your DVR and watch off ball. Watch some of the movement off ball, because it's really fascinating, especially with Rudy Gobert and what he does and how he impacts a game, even without the ball in his hands. I mean, you hear the screen assist stuff getting thrown out there. It's a real thing, and it's really fun to watch how he impacts a game away from the basketball.
The other thing we talk about is this Jazz roster changing and these players evolving and growing. I still feel like every year that Quinn Snyder gets under his belt as a head coach is another year for him to evaluate himself as a head coach.
Yeah.
And Quinn's not the type of guy, at least he doesn't come across to me as the type of guy that is in his mind was like, yeah, I was good enough last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was creative enough last year. Yeah, I had it all dialed in last year. I'll just do what I did last year. He does not come across to me as that type of guy. He comes across to me as a guy that, first of all, respects a dollar, looks at what he's getting paid, probably thinks to himself, I got to earn this. That's the type of guy he comes across to me as. Second of all, he comes across to me as the type of guy that it's midnight. He's still sitting there with his eyes wide open, takes a couple of quick blinks, and it's about 4:30, and he's ready to go again. He's got a lot of time on his hands. And I think he ingests a lot of basketball. I'm sure he watched a lot of Rudy Gobert offensively in the Olympics. Probably was able to evaluate a lot of these Jazz players in their Olympic sets and what they were doing offensively. And, you know, sometimes when you stand back and you watch something as a coach or a mentor and you're watching that person that you're coaching or mentoring, you step back and look at them from a distance. Sometimes you see something like, ooh, I really liked what he did there. I can try to let's throw that on the court and see how he does in that situation with these guys on the court. And so I expect Quinn Snyder to be creative, and I expect him to have his developmental crew up and ticking. And that's, you know, obviously through our predictions yesterday. Was that just yesterday?
I already want to revise mine.
Well, we've got one. We've got two NBA games on our belts.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to take that Brooklyn Nets thing back.
No, it's not. It's one game.
No, come on.
It's not time. And I tuned in yesterday to the big show. It was the final day of you know,
yeah,
the old hours. And just listening to Jake Scott berate Lloyd. Just tear him apart. It's like, you just go with the obvious one, huh? And Lloyd's like, it's the Jazz. I don't think it's that obvious.
I don't think it was that obvious.
It's just a blatantly obvious. Now, Scotty, his Denver Nuggets. It's like, oh, come on.
That's a man who thinks outside the box.
See, now that's a man. That's why Jake's good at what he does.
That's a guy that drinks Rusty Nails. He wouldn't be drinking any of that Heffenweizen.
I mean, I would like to think that if I did drink, I would be a rusty nail kind of guy.
I think you would. You know, you and I'd be moonshiners.
Oh yeah, we'd have.
Oh dude,
that's what my wife. She always says, you know, if you drink, I could see, because you know, you and I, we like to barbecue. I could see us having a little thing in the back where we're mixing our own stuff.
Somebody would walk in our backyard and be like, "Why do you have 800 pounds of field corn back here?"
Like, never you mind
those goats.
Yeah.
Just keep goats in the yard just in case.
All right, Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It is a Wednesday. It's a Tim Daly Infinity Wednesday. We are out and about today, 4550 South State Street, only Infinity dealership in the entire state of Utah. You want a new Infinity? Bam, you got to come right here. You want that new QX55? Well, good luck, because no, they're here. And they're beautiful rides, and they are priced to move as well. You can get 0% financing on every new Infiniti and a great selection of used vehicles as well, from Infinities to pretty much all makes and models. So come down here, check it out, and remember the forever warranty attached with these vehicles, new or used. You get that forever warranty. Drive the vehicle as long as you want, put as many miles on you want. It doesn't matter. It's covered. It's Tim Daly Infinity. We got some Jazz gear ready to go for you. And coming up in our next segment, we'll also give away some Jazz tickets. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup is here. With the best coverage of the sports you love and the teams you can't live without. Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10, followed by Jake Scott and Ben Anderson from 10 to noon. Get your daily fix of Hans and Scotty from noon to 3. And then the Zone welcomes Unrivaled with Alex Keery and former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to the team. Weekdays from 3 to 7, live and local all day, every day. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Thanks for making us part of your day. The new hours of the show are the old hours of the show.
Wow, going back 8 years ago.
Every day from noon to 3.
I love it. Love these hours. Love the new lineup. Love the new station. We are just going to have a blast together, man. This has been so much fun. And it was awesome listening to Ben and Jake. It sounded like they've been together for a lot of years. And it's just a lot of excitement going on.
We need to do the post-show pod. Like, you know, people are used to 4 hours.
Just do an extra 30, 40 minutes of what?
15, 20.
15 or 20.
Yeah, call like over some sort of Hans and Scotty overtime.
Hey, have you... How can we say it like that? Did you say overtime?
Overtime. Overtime.
Kitty cat.
Superstar.
Superstar.
Call me kitty cat. Have you had issues with Twitter polls? That one. I don't know what happened.
Oh no! Don't you dare delete it.
By the way, I'm just letting you know because I watched it. It was getting Coldplay was
no,
getting
you don't know
slaughtered.
Where, no, you don't know where anything stood.
Did you delete it?
No, I haven't. Not yet. I'm going to give it just a couple more minutes, but before it falls apart.
This is the greatest poll question in the history of poll questions. Yes.
Oh wow! It is 73-27%.
I feel like
the Eagles are not taking it easy on Coldplay.
I feel like your faith in humanity just got restored.
Coldplay's a little desperado on how this whole thing's going down.
Keep going.
They can't hide their lion eyes.
Hey, there you go. Oh man, I mean, let's be honest here. The Eagles are right in the fast lane, man, just trucking down for a victory here.
After this loss, it's going to take a couple weeks in Hotel California to come back from this one.
Coldplay's taking a jump off Seven Bridges Road right now.
Yeah, he lost me on that one.
You'd love that song, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
By the way, you and Hamuli are just too much. You guys are too much.
For a guy that I've never met, like, I want to hang out with that guy.
I know, man. He truly is like, he's like our brother, and I've met him maybe twice, but he is basically us. Because some of his comments on tweets, but he also says things on Twitter that we don't say, that we wish we could.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, he's funny.
All right, Utah gets set for a big one as they get set to square off against Oregon State. We haven't talked a lot of Oregon State. A team that is coming off a bye week, which you hate playing teams coming off the bye.
Yeah.
But a team that certainly is, I know that they've got a Washington State loss on there that kind of brought them back down to earth a little bit, but a team that's way better than I thought they'd be.
This is a team that has figured out two things, Scotty. How to run the ball and how to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me, all right, Hans, you're going to start a football team. What two aspects do you want to do well? I'm going to tell you, I want to run the ball well, and I want to stop the run as best I can. Those would be the two things, and they do it really well. They're number 9 in the country in rushing per game, nearly 250 yards per game on the ground. And they're number 20 in the country at stopping the run. They're only giving up about 100 yards a game on the ground. 250 gained, giving up about 105 on the ground per. And this team has figured out the staples of football, and it's gotten them to a pretty good record. Now, you talked about their slip-up, but This is still a very good team.
So, Lloyd, I don't know if you have the cut, but Kyle Whittingham really said something interesting. And Kyle is Mr. Coach Speak, but his comments about somebody asked, does defense still win championships? And I thought, well, for sure Kyle's going to say, of course they do. Well, Kyle kind of backtracked on that a little bit.
I heard that.
And I think it's really fascinating. And this shows the evolution of Kyle Whittingham to give a very really thoughtful answer on that.
Is this when he called DJ a stat geek?
Well, I think he called himself a stat geek.
Oh, I thought.
Maybe he did call. But I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, listen to this. And then in terms of Oregon State and what they've accomplished there.
It used to be much more prevalent in your success than it is now. And I'm a kind of a statistics geek, as David James calls me. I'm a guy that likes to look at stats and numbers. In this day and age of football, I've seen breakdowns where offense is responsible for 50% of your success or lack thereof, defense 35%, and special teams 15%. And so it's diminished a little bit in its impact on the game. Offense is more taking more of a front seat, but it's still very important. The best thing is to be good on both sides of the ball, but the real impact of the game has shifted to more of an offensive impact.
So that's he's not just spitballing that. He's getting that from somewhere.
Yeah.
Where the overall success of your team, 50% offense, 35% defense, 15% special teams.
And this is something that you and I have talked about over the years, over the 8 years we've been doing the show, as football has continued to evolve, certainly since I played it. Certainly since you played it, football has really evolved. And everything that they do is to try to inspire more offense. They want more scores. They want quarterbacks to stay healthy. They want that offense to be the highlight. So rules have adjusted to make it the highlight. And I'm sure Kyle Whittingham, being a defensive mind and being really good at recruiting defensive players, is looking at like, okay, how much do we need to start to evolve? What kinds of things do we need to do in the offensive game to get caught up? How much time and resource do we put into getting a four-star linebacker as opposed to a four-star wide receiver now? Because before, it's like, well, let's dump all of our resources into getting that linebacker. We have to have him to patrol the middle of that line. And now it's like, well, or because quarterbacks are given so many freedoms and there's so much taken away from a defense, maybe we put more time and resource into the offensive side. We talked about this with Rudy Gobert in the Utah Jazz. How much do you want a max player to be a defending big on your team? And that's where you spend the bulk of your money, because the NBA is doing the same thing. They want offensive highlights. They want big scores. They want big shots. And I think it's interesting that Kyle addressed it. I don't think I can't imagine I would have ever heard him throw out percentages. And I don't know him much. Well, I guess he is a bit of a stats guy. He's a bit of a stats
guy. But he's also an old school guy too, which some of these old crotchety coaches are like, oh, we need that defense. Defense wins championships. About that anymore. I do know this in the NFL, and even in the college ranks, you have an elite level quarterback, it's going to change who you are as a team very quickly. Ed Orgeron's about to be fired at LSU. He won a national championship when he had Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow leaves, they become a mediocre football team. I already forgot the name of the guy at Auburn who won a national title with Cam Newton. Cam Newton leaves, he gets fired a couple years later. If you have great quarterback play, now there's some teams that can get around a little bit, like Alabama. Now, Mac Jones is a first-round pick, but Alabama hasn't just been pumping out great quarterbacks. But collectively, there's nobody that can really match what Alabama does from a talent level standpoint. But Utah State got on the map last year. You know, Gary Anderson turned that program around when Chucky Keaton showed up.
Yeah.
You look down the line a little bit. Matt Wells got Utah State going when Jordan Love showed up. Zach Wilson, BYU, goes, 12-1 last year, 11 or whatever their record was last year.
11-1.
Zach Wilson, second overall pick.
Yeah.
Like, if you have elite-level quarterback play, you've got a chance to be really special in college football. And if you don't, you could struggle.
In all of football.
In all football.
So let me run through this, and you just name the quarterbacks. I'm going to go through the last 10 Super Bowl champions, all right? Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, obviously. Kansas City.
Pat Mahomes.
New England.
Tom Brady.
Philadelphia.
Nick Foles. Now, that could be a little bit of a...
That's a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah.
New England.
Tom Brady.
Denver.
Peyton Manning, and that one doesn't necessarily work very well because Peyton was at the... I mean, that dude was not good.
Yeah.
And he needed Von Miller to help him win a Super Bowl. But he managed the game, yeah.
He managed.
Yeah.
New England.
Tom Brady.
Jeez Louise. Can we stop with the Tom Brady? So Seattle.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Outside of maybe you could talk Peyton Manning a little bit. That was a defensive Denver team.
Yeah. And Nick Foles.
And Nick Foles a little bit. How good was that defense? That Philadelphia defense.
Pretty good.
That Philadelphia team caught fire in a bottle
yeah.
for a period of time. That was strange. But for the most part, yeah, you got to have that elite quarterback. And I just think it gets more and more to that point. I do feel like Jaren Hall, when he's healthy, I do feel like Jaren Hall is that electric quarterback.
I'm with you on that.
Cam Rising is becoming that electric quarterback.
And if Cam Rising turns into who we kind of expect him as he's evolving into this role, I think that he has a chance to be really, really special.
Well, I was thinking about this today. I did pull the top 10 that we did. And... Well, the top 10 that I put together, and I think you and I were on the same page with just yep. one or two exceptions. And if Cam Rising, if he plays like he has in the last 2 weeks, he had 306 yards against USC, and he had 250 yards against Arizona State. But that's not to mention the yards that he got on the ground. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a rushing touchdown in each, doesn't he?
Yes.
And he's... had multiple third down conversions with his feet. He's very good with his feet. I was thinking about this, even with Cam Rising not getting the start at the beginning of the season, he could work his way into the top 10 of the redefined 60 and 60 that we do at the end of the season.
Yeah.
He really could. He's putting together some huge performances, but
just swap out Charlie Brewer and throw in Cam Rising. Brewer finished 10th, right?
Should we even admit that?
Well, we didn't do the... I mean, we didn't vote.
We just put the names together, yeah. and sports media voted on it.
Yeah, it's those guys.
It was them.
It's their problem, not ours.
Well, I think you and I should release our numbers that we had on Charlie. Both of us had him at 60.
Yeah, and then I actually wrote in Cam Rising at 6. Wait, no, Cam Rising was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in it.
Yeah.
He was in it. I just don't remember where he came in.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. What you may have missed coming up next, Cougar Preview Show begins at 1 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Ready. It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. It's another Pac-12 road trip for Utah as Kyle Whittingham and the Utes head to the Pacific Northwest to battle Oregon State in Corvallis. Catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 4:30 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
You know how you have your first game of the year, and I know there's some preseason games, but there's always, you know, some hiccups and some mistakes here and there in your first game of the year. Mm-hmm. Well, it's our first game of the year with the Jazz, and so I neglected to give away Jazz tickets last segment. That's on me. I know a lot of people have been listening, waiting for the cue to call. Well, here it is right now.
People are so bugged you force them to listen longer.
I know. They're like, I don't want to listen for another 15 minutes. Caller number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And caller number 12, you, my friend, are going to get Jazz tickets to see the Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. So be caller number 12 right now. Let's go.
Scotty, what you may have missed, there's a couple things we need to get to. Number one, we saw this come down, was it this morning? Nick Rolovich's lawyer releasing a statement saying that Nick Rolovich will be taking legal action against Washington State and all parties responsible for his, I quote, illegal termination, unquote. He accused athletic director Pat Chun of discriminatory and vindictive behavior.
Well, we all saw this coming. We knew it was going to happen. And I think there was probably some legal counsel involved by Nick Rolovich going to a lawyer and saying, hey, look, I don't want to take this vaccine. The guy says, well, if they don't, they'll probably fire you. Okay, can I sue? And the lawyer's like, heck yeah, billable hours. Let's go. Let's have some fun. So this was a foregone conclusion. I just hope that if there's some kind of compensation for this, because Nick Rolovich is probably already in a pretty good place financially. I'm worried about guys like Mark Weber and those guys, those assistants that weren't making a ton of money. That I hope that Nick, and I'm not saying that Nick did the right thing. Look, I said yesterday, I think it's silly that he didn't get vaccinated and that he sacrificed a Pac-12 job because of it. But I do hope that in this legal battle that he's also including his assistants in trying to get them compensated as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I don't want to seem like I'm condoning their actions.
Should set a precedence, though.
But I sure hope that Nick's just not being the high-profile guy trying to get his money when you got other guys that aren't making, you know, a tenth of what he's making, and that they're having opportunity as well.
Mm-hmm. My guess, they'll probably mirror a lot of this, won't they?
I would think so.
Probably watch how this goes, and it would be my guess that they would use it as an example. Because if Nick Rolovich was wronged here and wins a lawsuit, then I would imagine that the others would feel like they could do the same. But I also have to imagine that Washington State vetted this very deeply.
Yeah.
Before they decided to, and because they had plenty of warning. They had about 6 weeks of warning. Maybe even more than that. Maybe it was 8 weeks of warning of what was coming down to get their ducks in a line and make sure that everything's in order, because they had to have known that this was coming. I'm curious to see how this plays out. I have no idea how it plays out. I know a lot of people feel like they know the grounds that he's got, and they feel like there's no chance. And I know a lot of people feel like he's absolutely been wronged. But we don't know the inner workings of this. I'm sure that this thing is real deep, just like every lawsuit that's filed. And the amount of the people typically know of a case is about 4%. It's about what you know. You know about 4% of everything that's going in and on with this lawsuit right now. It's probably very deep.
It's well said. And I think that both sides, you're right. The legal counsel at Washington State have been meeting with the president and everybody and saying, okay, look, if it gets to this point and he doesn't have the jab yet, what are we going to do? Do we have to fire him? And a lot of meetings, a lot of hours around a conference board. I guarantee there's been a lot of conversation about this. And then also on Nick Rolovich's side, too. I'm sure he's like, look, they're probably going to fire me. What should I do? Well, they're going to fire you with cause. They're not going to give you any money. Are you ready to have a legal battle? What's our chances? I think both sides went into this probably feeling pretty confident of the result on the legal battle. And, mm-hmm. and I'm personally, on the outside looking in, I'm fascinated to see how it plays out.
Oh, I am too.
Because it's going to set a huge precedence going forward.
And I'm not going to sit here and act like I know what all goes into this. Because I don't.
Agreed.
There's so much that typically is going on behind the scenes. The other thing I wanted to mention, I'm really bummed. Tomorrow night, Cleveland Browns, Denver Broncos, no Baker Mayfield. It was announced this morning.
Is it official?
Yeah. It was announced that Baker Mayfield is out.
He'll win by 7 instead of 20.
You know who the Browns are starting? A little known quarterback that goes by the name Case Keenum. Case
Former Broncos quarterback.
I know. At least we have a quarterback.
You just went we. Look at you. Did you just say at least we have a quarterback as opposed to the Broncos?
Yeah.
Wow, that was also a shot. You are a fan.
I'm trying,
man. You dropped a we and an attack against the opponent.
Yeah. I'm trying.
It's time for you to tell your wife she's got to get rid of the 49er shirt, and it's time for her to get a brown shirt.
Oh, man. I can't. There's no way. Well, we're just going to have inner home division.
That's AFC, NFC. You guys never play each other.
I should like that brown jersey.
Yeah.
Why'd you look real?
I didn't know where you were going there for a minute.
Oh, on the inner home?
Yeah.
So we'll get those things figured out. Maybe I'll have to get her a brown shirt.
Or just get you a Baker Mayfield jersey. Or better yet, get Rock and Odell Beckham jersey.
I need a 4X in the Odell. Sorry, he's a receiver. We only do those in mediums.
You know, Xavier asked me the other day, my son, he asked me, he goes, who's that guy that always catches it with one hand that's on the Browns?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, Odell Beckham? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, man.
No, he didn't.
Yep, he did.
Oh, man, isn't it funny when kids start to pick up on sports? My youngest, Riley, had me laughing so hard. She's so stinking funny. So she's been watching a lot of sports with me. She watched the Lakers Warriors game with me last night.
Yeah,
she's been watching golf with me because she liked golf a little bit. And the other night, she's sitting there. She goes, "Man, I just can't stand that golfer." And I said, "Who?" And she said, "The golfer, the one that's kind of short and stocky and dark." She describes this guy for 30 minutes. I'm racking my brain like, "Who?" And she's like, "He always finishes second. He never wins. He's always second." And I'm like thinking, oh, Ricky Fowler, and I'm going down the list. And she's like, no. I pulled up the PGA Tour roster with all the pictures and went through picture by picture. And sure enough, it was Louis Oosthuizen. I was like, what?
She hates Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah, that's what I said. She's like, I just can't stand him. I'm like, Louis Oosthuizen, like, he's actually a pretty beloved golfer.
A random guy not to like.
It's pretty unmemorable, actually.
I know. I was laughing so hard, man. She just was cracking me up. She's like, he just doesn't golf very good. And I said, well, honey, if you're on this PGA Tour list, that means you're one of the best of over a billion.
And you're finishing second.
That means you're the best of over a billion. She's funny, but I love when kids get involved.
Oh, yeah. Having my hearing my 10-year-old talk about Joe Flacco is pure entertainment.
What does he say about Joe?
He hates that guy so much.
Why is he so against Joe?
I don't know, because he's heard me yell at him a bunch when I'm watching a game, and he's so old, he sucks. I know.
So, Lloyd, does Xavier sit there and watch Raiders games in his Raiders gear, or?
He watches a little bit of it, and then he goes out and has a game himself in the backyard.
Okay. I love it. That's great.
He puts on his helmet. I mean, I'm going to send you this video because this was yesterday. I mean, the kid, it goes all out, and he's nuts. Let's just put it that way.
Kids are great. That's the fun part. There's some great parts about parenting, including watching him watch sports, and then there's some other stuff that's not so much fun.
Yeah.
But the sports part, that's fun.
Sports fun. The sports part is the most enjoyable part so far for me. Not them playing it, just sitting back and watching a little bit of sports with them is always a fun time for me. I get watching my kids play sports, it just puts me in a bad mood.
Yeah, that's true.
Every time.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. It's time for your Cougar Preview Show. We'll do it next right here on The Zone Sports Network.